This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
And for March Madness, 2-5 seeds, a 9 seed, and a 2 seed reached the NCAA Men's Final Four. Sad weekend in Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. Wow, lots of cleanup thanks to terrible tornadoes, especially in Mississippi. 26 people plus maybe dead, many injured, just terrible, terrible tornado that happened on Friday night. And crowds filled the streets of Tel Aviv after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fired his defense minister over his opposition to a planned judicial overhaul, you might say. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Hope that your weekend went well. Maybe you spent some of it watching March Madness. Maybe spring has sprung where you are and you were actually out doing something else, enjoying the weather, perhaps. Let's just dive right into it. It really is, I think, about the tornadoes. And a lot of people were talking about how sad it is in the Deep South, really. It was just awful. And it was like a war zone, really. And that all happened on Friday. I mean, rescuers were racing around like nobody's business, as it was described to me by someone I know, to search for survivors and help the hundreds of people, frankly, left homeless after a wicked tornado cut a horrible path through Mississippi, killing 25 people, injuring dozens, flattening entire blocks. I mean, flattened, carving a wild path of destruction for more than an hour. So this wasn't just, okay, boom, it hit, it's out. No. One person, by the way, was killed in Alabama. So the tornado devastated a swath of the Delta town of Rolling Fork. That was just reduced to nothing. So piles of rubble, flipped cars, you know the descriptions. I've talked about them before when there's been tornadoes. It even toppled the town's water tower. So what do the people do? They hunkered down in bathtubs, hallways, anything they could on Friday night. And later went into a John Deere store that they converted into a triage center for the wounded, because there was a lot of wounded people. I saw one woman, it seemed like her comment was everywhere, where she said, there's nothing left. There's just nothing left. There's just the breeze that's running, going through, just nothing. That says it all. So based on the descriptions, the early data, the tornado received a preliminary EF4 rating. EF4 rating, that's from the National Weather Service office in Jackson. They put that out on Saturday, late on Saturday. So if you look at an EF4 tornado, we all know this by now, right? 166 miles to 200 miles an hour is what you're talking about. So people didn't have a chance if that thing hit them head on. I mean, if it hit them head on, forget about it. So you also had, like you did in Alabama, you had lots of fallen trees. You had people with chainsaws searching for survivors, because then you have power lines that are pinned under these old oaks, you know, roots just torn up from the ground. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves issued, of course, a state of emergency and said, we're going to rebuild. He just went to view the damage and was shocked as well. And, you know, you saw cotton, corn, soybean fields just ruined. And it is about rebuilding. I mean, but it's going to take a while for this rebuild, especially when I look at that one town of Rolling Fork. It is just no more. Lots of water, lots of supplies being delivered for the people. We are a good country, a generous country when it comes to that. People reaching out, people driving, even when they really shouldn't because they can't get into some of these areas, just to try to do something, whatever they can do, feeling like they want to reach out and do something for those people that were just completely wiped out. You know, meteorologists say they saw a big tornado risk coming for the region as early as a week in advance. And the problem is, you talk about tornadoes, you talk about the possibility of tornadoes, and it still is that elusive monster for so many people because you just don't know for sure. Is it, you know, is it going to touch down? This is a watch. What does that mean? And sure enough, it did. And then you don't know where specifically it's going to hit. Rolling Fork, Silver City, two big places that got slammed in Mississippi. I've said, you know, RF now a couple of times because that's the one that really comes up a lot. So really our hearts go out to these people. They do. And you can donate. There's lots of places to donate. Always the Red Cross is a good place. I've spent some time with the Red Cross. I've talked to them. I know what they do for people, and they're there on the ground like lots of other organizations trying to help and do whatever it is that they can possibly do. I mean, that's what it is. All right. While there are calls for the potential arrest of Donald Trump, the former president, he held a rally in Waco. And he insisted during that rally, with the crowd cheering, that Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has nothing on him. He called the case prosecution misconduct. Easy for me to say. And worse than anything else. Also, Ted Nugent, who was there, opened the rally for the president and got the crowd really whipped up, and they were cheering and screaming, you know, for him. He came on stage to God Bless America, and he flew in on Trump Force One, and there were thousands of people that were there on the tarmac waiting for him. So this is a big, big, huge rally. And so the former first president, the former president could be the first in U.S. history to face criminal charges, which might come as early as next week. It still is an up-in-the-air question. And that's why he addressed it head on. But like I said, the crowd was definitely there. He's definitely running for president in 2024. And we'll see what happens as far as everything else and how that plays out with the potential charges, thanks to the payment to the former porn star back in 2016. That's a little bit of what's being talked about in the country. Also, I said the Final Four is set. There was kind of some shock when it came to, I think, the finals there. Miami beat Texas 88-81, so they rallied past them to earn their first Final Four trip. But they're not the only surprise in this thing. So when you look at brackets, I have to think there are some people out there that did this bracket game that are holding busted brackets, because the other surprise, I think, in all of this for sure was a 9 seed out of the East making it to the Final Four. In fact, they're going to take on San Diego State, because San Diego State made it all the way down, is the Florida Atlantic Owls, who beat the Fairleigh Dickinson Knights 78-70, one of their many hits along the way. And then, you know, Miami, as I said, Miami with their big win, and UConn. So that's your Final Four. That is set for April 1st. Wow. How many people had those teams to go to the Final Four? I'm betting not very many. We continue coming up.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at DrinkSuperTea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
I say this show is about what people are talking about. A lot of people talking about AI and whether it's going to impact their jobs or not. There's a whole bunch of studies on that. We'll talk about that coming up here in a second. But I want to finish up the tornado deal because, you know, it definitely hit the South, not just the tornado on Friday or tornadoes. There was also Georgia that got hit by tornadoes. And two tigers were actually recaptured after a tornado hit a Georgia park. And can you imagine that? So it happened when the tornado touched down on Sunday morning in West Point, which is along the Georgia-Alabama border. So five people had minor injuries. And the sheriff's department, because, you know, everybody now always transmits through social media, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, they actually had a post where they talked about lots of downed trees and damages to houses. They showed it all and down power lines where they were. But there was this wildlife animal safari in Pine Mountain, which is about 20 miles east of that town I mentioned, West Point, and they got a lot of damage from the tornado. So no animals or employees were injured, but several animal enclosures were breached, the one that had the tigers. So they had to find them because they left. So they found them, they tranquilized them, and they returned them safely to their enclosure, which is a very, very good thing. And naturally, because we had these tornadoes a couple of days earlier that I talked about right at the top that swept through Mississippi that killed so many people, there was other storms and flash floods that hit parts of Louisiana. Georgia was also in that mix, and that was just one of the areas that really got slammed by that tornado. It's you know, it's that eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing. You're not quite sure where it's going to go down and, you know, what's going to happen. You're just watching, and you're trying to pay attention in any way you can to what the weather's telling us, but it still is elusive. Like I said, you might look at the conditions, and they're getting better at pinpointing tornadoes a little bit better, but not exact. It's not an exact science, you know, at this point. All right, and I also talked about Benjamin Netanyahu, and why is this a big deal? Well, if you saw any video, but I can describe it to you, thousands of Israelis took the streets on Sunday. They were all over the streets protesting after he dismissed, like I said, his defense minister, who was pushing the government to halt the plan to overhaul the judicial system because it's highly contested. So the footage that I saw showed these crowds blocking Tel Aviv's main highway, and then a group of protesters lighting a bonfire in the middle of the highway, too, as well. And there have been lots of protests against this idea of the judicial overhaul. I mean, countrywide protests. And it's included a growing number of military reservists. So is it undermining national security? It would seem it is, at least a little bit. So it looks like the prime minister is going to move ahead with plans to do what he wants to do. And there's lots of oppositions to that. And what does that mean? What are we seeing? What are we seeing with a possible showdown here? Certainly a showdown between Netanyahu's government and the judiciary anyway. So, for example, his government is pushing for a parliamentary vote on a centerpiece of this whole thing, which is, check this out, a law that would give the governing coalition the final say over all judicial appointments, which they haven't had that. So there's a lot of turmoil brewing that we're not used to necessarily seeing of this sort over this kind of thing in Israel. So, you know, it's a fragile system of checks and balances, and is the concern is Israel going down a path toward a different direction of government? Is that what we're seeing with Netanyahu in place? And the answer is, it looks that way, right? It definitely looks that way. And I also brushed up against the whole what's going to happen with the former president thing and whether or not Alvin Bragg, that Manhattan DA, is dropping the case? Is it moving on? What's the pressure there? What's going on? And there's a lot of conversation. The talking heads, which is the political pundits on the tube on Sunday on XYZ stations that you can see, were all analyzing this and throwing in their two cents on what they believe to be what ultimately was going to be the end to this, what was going to happen here, or was it going to happen or not? Was he going to be the first former president to be cuffed, so to speak, and charged, or in this particular situation, or not? And I've always said it's about follow the money. And if the money, you know, if they follow the money and this is what they decide, okay, this is, I have enough here. I think he's going to do what he wants to do, even though lots of people are saying, oh, this is political. This is what this is about. He's following what he thinks is the law, period. And so that's why there are a lot of barricades being still set up outside that courthouse. That was what it was about all last week. Same thing in Washington. There's precautions that are starting to happen there too. And it's still, like I already mentioned, a wait-and-see scenario. And there's not, you know, you can look into any kind of crystal ball you want, you can listen to any of the pundits you want, but there have been leaks, but there's no clear answer to this. So there's no way to completely handicap this other than, because they're playing it really close now, other than to say it really is about what happens next week and maybe even bounces into the week after, because you're talking about a grand jury and they're looking at a lot of different things. And particularly, this is the case that is getting a lot of reaction. No question about that. You know, I didn't mention this. I briefly did last week, but there was a Pennsylvania chocolate factory that had an explosion that killed seven, and they found additional bodies after that. So more bodies were found when the emergency crews went to the site. And this is in Berks County, Pennsylvania. So that moved the people who died up to seven. And really sad when I started to read the stories. I mean, this explosion just leveled the giant part of the building, and they don't have a cause yet at this point. So besides the people who died in West Reading, there's also 10 people that were injured, and there are buildings around, and they're talking about the explosion would be, the buildings around it would be condemned too as well, because it's uninhabitable. And what about the structural, you know, sites around it and the structures, the neighboring structures, how are they going to do with that explosion? And when you think of explosions, you think of buildings, because there were cameras around and you see it, it's just so shocking, right? It's just so shocking to see it, because yes, there can be explosions, but it's just like all of a sudden you see this sleepy little town, these buildings that look innocuous. You don't even have any idea unless you live there. And then all of a sudden you see this boom like that. I mean, almost like it was on a set somewhere that you were looking at, that it didn't look real. So really tough for those families. And it was all about the rescue efforts afterwards. And, you know, West Reading is not too far away from Chocolate Town, which, of course, is Hershey, Pennsylvania. So all up in that area, that's a very big deal. And this was a big deal, this chocolate plant. So sad news there for sure. Hey, coming up on the show, we've got mailbag. A lot of people in the mailbag talking about all kinds of things like Northern Lights. Apparently, some of you got a glimpse of some of those Northern Lights that came down a little bit further that you wouldn't necessarily see. And then I actually had somebody mention the seaweed that I've been talking about, this sargassum is what it's called, and the fact that that they had a family member that actually went swimming, waded through it to go through the seaweed that washed up in Miami Beach. So I guess a little bit in Miami Beach, but it's mostly in the Florida Keys from my understanding, because they're following it. They're using satellite data and models to track it in real time to get a sense of where it's going to hit and what it's going to do when it hits, when it decomposes. All that and more as we head to your thoughts and the mailbag.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News, I'm Tim Berg. The Vatican marking Palm Sunday with the Mass at St. Peter's Square. Officials estimated some 60,000 people attending the Mass. Pope Francis pronouncing prayers, including for those impacted by the terror attack in Moscow over the weekend.
Assicuro la mia preghiera per le vittime del vile attentato terroristico compiuto l'altra sera a Mosca.
Gas prices have risen significantly over the last few weeks. Oil industry analyst Trilby Lundberg, the publisher of the Lundberg Survey, reports that the U.S. saw a spike of 14 cents a gallon in the last 2 weeks for a new national average of $3.60. She says one of the main factors is a rise in oil prices overall.
There's been an added risk premium because of recent activities in the Middle East and Russia.
This is USA News.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
All right, we're in the mailbag, and we got this one from Jack, who says, whoa, 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 those northern lights. I'm almost jealous that I didn't live any place where I could see them, but Kate, I have a couple of kids that talked about seeing the northern lights, and they live in Idaho, and we're shocked by it, but of course the word spread, and they sent these mind-blowing pictures of what was those kind of greenish, glowy things that you see often in Iceland and other places. But how cool is that? And I know that there are other places in the U.S. that were treated to some northern lights, but they said they felt they thought it was pretty cool, and they felt rather special about it. So the winter does prove to be pretty interesting for, I think, more than just the people in the obvious places when it comes to that rare glow. And the pictures that they sent me, and some of the video they sent me, it's green on the horizon, and then you can see some pink and some stars in the background too as well. Really neat. I hope sometime to be able to view something similar in my life. Boy, me too. Jax, I'm with you right there. I would love to see the Northern Lights. And after I got your email, I looked at it just before we jumped on the air. I looked at some of the other places, and in Alaska, they've talked about that before, seeing it. You know, like the Denali National Park that preserve that's up there, which is close to Anchorage, and a lot, it's big wide open spaces and a lot of mountain vistas and that kind of thing. So you get to see all kinds of amazing things, and they could see, that's a great place to see the Northern Lights. They can see the Northern Lights. They expect to see them in that area. The Idaho Panhandle, maybe not as much. Not that they don't get it, but I don't think it's a definite. I mean, they have great areas for it, but that was maybe a surprise that they saw it the way that they saw it. And then, you know, I was looking at something about, and people talk to me all the time, my friends, about Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I've never been there, but I'm supposed to go there this summer. But Michigan's Upper Peninsula, which is the northernmost part in the U.S., and it goes all the way out to Lake Superior, they've sighted auroras and that kind of thing. And recently they have, where they catch those dancing lights in their backyards, which is so cool. Like on a clear night, to be able to see that reflection and see that show. Yeah, a little bit jealous there. I'd love to see that. And it looks different from the different photographs that I decided to look up in all of those places. Very, very cool. What a great way to start the mailbag, too, by the way. All right, let's move on to this one. This is a much different situation. This comes to us from Max, who says, Kate, the sargasm. After you were talking about it on the air, I decided to do a little research, too, on this wild seaweed pod that is headed toward the United States, and what's it contains, and is it toxic, and, you know, what does it mean as it's going across the Atlantic? And it seems to me that it's something that you don't really want to show up on your beach. It's not necessarily awful for marine life, but not great for human life when you have to crawl around it, and it stinks, frankly. And I have a godson who has dealt with it and is dealing with it, and talks about the fact that, yep, it's going to hit different parts of Florida. So I hope wherever you live in Florida, you don't have to deal with this sargasm seaweed belt. You know, they have satellite images of it. Thanks, Max. They have satellite images of it that show how massive it is. And I think you probably, Max, probably looked this up. And it's just floating seaweed. And people just crawl across it. If they want to go in the water, they'll just crawl across it. But the thing is, it doesn't attach to the sea floor. It's just above it. So it's just the floating. It's not like a little pile of seaweed, though. It's like a huge pile. It's like a 5,000-mile floating island. And so once it hits, it comes in all the way in. It is a nuisance, and it is hazardous because of it, the fact that it rots, right? And the other thing I didn't know about this seaweed belt is supposedly it weighs more than 6 million tons because it kept collecting, and it's enough if you were to fill it. I love this description I read somewhere. If you were to look at it, and if you're trying to describe how big it is, I guess the span of it, it would fill 3,000 Olympic sized swimming pools. And so just think of a brown algae that forms this gas filled, like berry like structures. And that's what it is. And the one that they recorded, that they've been talking about from the University of South Florida, the amount of it last month in the Atlantic, second most ever recorded in the month of February. So, of course, along the Gulf Coast, other areas, they're preparing for it because they know that it's coming, right? And that it's going to cause those problems to humans. It might be a benefit to fish and turtles and birds, because they can use it as food, and it can be a habitat and all that kind of thing. But for people, the respiratory problems, all of that, not good. and a pain, frankly, right? Just another thing to deal with, another thing that separates the beautiful beaches from, you know, what you're used to seeing. And then the idea that you go to the beach and, oh, I'm just going to ignore it. I don't know that you can ignore it. It's like the red tide thing. You can't ignore it. It's right there in front of your face. All right, we move on to this from Nick. He says, hey, Ms. Delaney and listeners of America, tonight I am watching to see from afar what's going on with this, the whole bank thing and Silicon Valley Bank and what it's caused, the ripple effect across the U.S., and now there's even talks about another bank acquiring it, and can they reach a deal, and would that benefit, like, First Citizens is the one that I heard, but the FDIC controls it at this point, so now I'm kind of confused by all of that. I guess the good news is the people that had deposits there are going to be made whole. The bad news is the rest of us are dealing with the whiplash and the aftermath of what the people who ran this bank did to everybody else. And from what I understand, the people who were on the board weren't even banking people. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's have a board meeting. Who are you? Oh, you have nothing to do with banking or the industry? That's so true. I heard the same thing. So they're trying to sell it alongside, you know, they're trying to sell it alongside another bank in the last couple of weekends, the FDIC, but they haven't reached a deal. So they're asking for separate offers for Silicon Valley Bank and for SVB Private, it's called, and then Silicon Valley Bank, because, yes, of course, there's the two offshoots. And that hasn't happened yet. So could it be First Citizens? There is this big story about First Citizens buying it. They have the resources, so will they buy it or not? It's pending. It depends, you know, if they approve of that or not. And again, we're all catching the leftovers of what happened at Silicon Valley Bank, because it did set off a panic. It did tank the markets. It did create more problems in the financial arena. It did cause people to panic a little bit and take their money out of smaller community banks in some cases and run to the biggest banks they could find, thinking, okay, I'd rather be with a big bank than a small bank, right? Bank's too big to fail. So it definitely had what you call that ripple effect, no question about it. I mean, just absolutely no question about it. All right, this one is from Ted. And Ted says, hey, Kate, I don't know about you, but I am sick of seasonal allergies. I'm thinking, where in the world, you do a national show, should I live that I don't have to deal with allergies? What are some good places? Well, I talk about Arizona all the time, and a lot of people I know that have allergies move to Arizona, and they swear by that climate that it's much, much better for them there. Because, you know, you're talking about why do you get the allergies, and how come allergy season can be worse? Because you have plants, we're in the spring, plants blooming earlier in some cases, the leafing, that whole growing season. And that makes you miserable, right? Because it's the pollen allergy season that starts up. And when that starts up, that's what really, that dust, that dander, all that kind of stuff, that's what hits you, right? And some people get it worse than others. And I guess there's certain foods that have high level of histamine. So they say to avoid, like, avocado and tomatoes and pickled foods and aged cheese. Well, yeah, all the good stuff. Processed meats and alcohol. You just could just only avoid all of those. All right, send me your thoughts 24/7, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Palo de Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
All right, tail end of the hour. Time for UBIs. You know what that is? Ubiquitous bits of information, aka fun facts. So Jeremy Paulson joins me to talk about those UBIs. Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
UBIs.
Woohoo! It sounds like UFOs. UFOs? Is that what she said?
No, UBIs?
I haven't seen any UFOs, but UBIs, I have seen a few. So let's hear some of yours.
Flying UBIs. Okay, sure. My first one is about cities. Did you know Cleveland used to be a top five city in the entire country?
A top five city, so it was one of our
in
best
population.
Cities.
No, like largest.
No, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, in 1920 in the census, Cleveland was fifth, only behind Detroit, Philly, Chicago, and New York.
Wow.
So,
pretty
Cleveland,
cool.
Ohio, used to be a mega power.
Wow. Very cool. I like that. What else do you have for us?
This one I thought was interesting. 3D printing came so far now that NASA can email tools to astronauts.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. They can email tools and they'll 3D print them in space.
Right, and then that's perfect because if they need a certain tool, obviously, they can get it to them.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. Yeah. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Nice.
Then the one I thought that you would really like, because we're both moviegoers. Did you know that movie trailers used to be trailed the movies? They were after the movie, not before.
No. Wonder why they did that.
Hence the name movie trailers.
Right.
they came after the movie. And the first movie trailer was in 1912.
Wow, yeah. After the movie, how crazy is that? So, like, not while before they were watching another movie to get, like they do now, to get you interested in what's coming up. Yeah. That's surprising. That's
how they got their name, was movie trailers. They were after the movie.
Yeah.
Now it's like the spoilers are after the movie, right?
Yeah.
And then that, trailers yeah. are before.
Yeah, trailers are before and drive people crazy because they get to the movie theater and then they have to wade through a half an hour of trailers. They became so popular and people wanted to see them. That's why. So the idea was, okay, well, yeah, they love them, so we're going to play them. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, somebody was paying attention to John Wick 4, that trailer, because, you know, this over the weekend, $73.5 million for that John Wick 4. Wow.
I still want to see it. I like the Wick movies. They're good.
I like the Wick movies, too, and I was thinking about that I haven't, I didn't see it. So I was thinking, isn't that interesting that it's Keanu Reeves is part of it. I think people support him. I do.
Yeah.
I think they like him. He just is likable to a lot of people. All right. So I have a bunch of UBIs, and this is interesting to me because we're coming upon that time where people, and I guess year round you could do this, but lots of people like roller coasters, you know, and it's always bigger, badder, better. How fast is it? What's the G force of it? But did you know what the first roller coaster was, where it is, that reached 100 miles an hour?
No clue.
It was the Tower of Terror 2. It was in Australia. So that's where they built it. 400 feet tall. And there's so many huge roller coasters, 400 feet tall. And then if you look at the beginning, the timetable for roller coasters, where did they first start? Some people really call a roller coaster, the origins of it, they say it goes back to ice slides in the 18th century in Russia, and that they had sleds and then went to wheeled carts that would send people down the wheeled carts when it wasn't snowy, right? So they're saying that that's when that happened, like 1815 or so. That's when you would get got the beginnings of what they call a roller coaster. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, the whole idea of the roller coaster and how it just grew in popularity and in the innovations of it and how it's spread. And a big one was the Cyclone, which was in Coney Island, and that was in the 20s. You know, so I mean, I could go on about the roller coasters. I'm not a huge roller coaster rider, but I just think the origins of it are fascinating.
I'm not either.
No, that whole thing, the making you feel queasy in the heights and the.
Not a fan.
No, I've done it, and then I get off, and I'm like, "Wow, why? Why did I do that? Yeah, why did I do that? I have nothing to prove to anyone. Why do I have to ride this roller coaster?" Okay, because you have a birthday coming up. Happy birthday! I have a birthday coming up, and the Hubs.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. He just had a birthday. It's like everybody's birthday is compacted into the end of March. So maybe think about cakes. Do you like cake?
Yeah.
I do too, because I don't eat it very often, so it's kind of a treat. The cake, there's debates as to who and when they invented cake, but a lot of people credit the Egyptians with it because of the special cakes, the sweet cakes that they made. But other people say 17th century Europe, it was bakers who started to create round cakes with icing on top. And they used molds, and they used baking trays, and the traditional round cake really started there. That, yes, you could say, okay, the beginnings, the ancient Egyptians had cake, you know, more dense and bread-like, and they were sweetened with honey and all that kind of stuff. But the medieval Europeans had the really traditional round and then the icing and, you know, all that. And the Germans were the first people to celebrate a birthday party involving cake. That's pretty interesting. Right?
Yeah. I like pies over cake, but yeah.
Oh, I like cake over pies. But the Romans, because I only like really apple pie, the Romans were the ones who added yeast to cake to make it rise. And yeah, so you didn't get like a flat cake. Here's your flat cake. I didn't just picture these people though.
Aren't they called brownies?
yeah, brownies now. It's so crazy to think about that. Yeast cakes, and there's actually a National Cake Day that still is today. They celebrate it on November 26th, I want to say. Okay, and then it made me think about mustard, because I like condiments and I really like mustard. When I moved to Texas, I thought it was the weirdest thing. People put mustard on their hamburgers, and I like mustard now on hamburgers. And I like it better because it doesn't have the sugar of ketchup. So mustard was a condiment first in England in 1390. And you can go back, and there was a cookbook, sort of a cookbook, that was written by King Richard II's master cooks, and they had it in there. So that whole tangy flavor, that whole thing.
Well, I thought mustard on burgers is a normal thing. That's the
because of where you grew
up here too.
Yeah, it's not normal in the East. Then nobody does that. Like they look at, and they still like, if I do that, people look at me like, "What? What are you doing?"
Or mustard on hot dogs.
Yeah, mustard on hot dogs, but not on burgers. And I think it tastes good. I do. I like it. And people use mustard. I mean, it's weird, but in the Netherlands and northern Belgium, I guess, they have mustard soup. Here's your mustard soup. I mean, it does have some cream in it, and it does have some garlic. It has a few other things, but it's really mustard. It's that mustard seed, so it would be so tangy.
I have a food one, too. Follow your food one.
Oh, let's hear it.
I threw a gross one in here just to liven it up.
Oh, nice.
In 2017, Kit Kat released a sushi-inspired Kit Kat in Japan.
Oh, sushi Kit Kat. Break me off a piece of that sushi Kit Kat, please.
Yeah, it was white chocolate raspberry with a bit of wasabi.
Oh, I can't imagine what that would taste like. I think it would bomb in the United States. I do.
I don't think I'd want to eat it either.
Oh, what would be great is if you trick someone, you had one, and you didn't tell them, "Hey, do you want a piece of my Kit Kat?" "Sure." And you hand it to them like, "What is this?" What are you talking about? Wow. And then I have a great one to finish us off. So, of course, if you have cake, you need to wrap it with something, right? Saran wrap. And Saran wrap was developed in 1949. Yeah, original. Nice. Yeah, the plastic wrap. That's when it worked. It was actually a Swiss chemist that first conceived of it back way earlier in 1911, but it didn't really become what it is until 1949. I bet everybody ran out and got it. Hey, there's this new thing, plastic wrap. It's so awesome. It's called Saran wrap. I mean, it probably flew off the shelves back then for sure. All right, UBIs, it was a lot of fun. Thank you, Jeremy.
You're welcome.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.